Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Set in a small town in South Carolina, the Beautiful Creatures series is steeped in Southern tradition, gossipy churchgoers, and mystical forces that now threaten everything the sleepy little town has held so dear. Authors Cami Garcia and Margaret Stahl intricately crafted two worlds, one of the all-American boy, Ethan, and the other of Lena, who is surrounded by dark and light magic. Also swirling in the mix is a caregiver who relies heavily on voodoo to keep her family safe, and three great-great aunts who know more than they're letting on. The fourth and final book in the series is Beautiful Redemption.
The way it started was we wrote the books on a dare from Margie's two older daughters and my teenage sister, who were all my students, because that's how we met. I was a teacher for 17 years, and I taught Margie's daughters. So in the beginning, it started out as a dare. And basically what we did was we sat down with napkins and paper and we charted out the casters, who our supernaturals would be. And we always knew from the beginning how the book would end. Like, we knew what the main arc of all of the story was. And then we started writing, and it was like serialized fiction. We kind of wrote an outline together very loosely on Margie's whiteboard. And then each of us took, like, Margie did chapter 1 and 2, I did 3 and 4. And then we swapped, and we literally edited. It was like being each other's editors. I wrote over her work, she wrote over mine, I cut things, she added things, and then we sent the same chapters back and forth, like, several times. So it really is almost like having an editor, and we are both writing everything. And then with the kids, what ended up happening was it was like serialized fiction. They would read a chapter or two as we were writing. So there was never an intention to be a book, and we kind of came up with this crazy method of writing together. And by the time we finished, you know, the story that turned into a book and we sold it, we just kept doing the same thing. We kept using Word. We kept our same system, because it had worked, and we were kind of a little nervous to change it.
This is Margie. I'd come out of making video games where you have 100 people on your team and you collaborate in a very large way. And Cami had been working with a whole faculty in school. I mean, I think we were just really used to collaboration. And I don't know if also being sort of mothers and women had something to do with it, but we had a real sense that we were writing, as Cami said, not a book, but a story. It was for teenagers who we loved, and we knew what they wanted from us. So it was never really about us or our egos so much as it was about this story we were telling this specific group of kids. And so it just naturally worked for us, but we also didn't know any better, you know?
Right.
Like, we didn't know how to write a book.
Which makes it easier in a way, because you can guide yourselves and form it how you want it to be.
I agree. And the other thing that I think is really important that Margie points out a lot is even after the books kind of had this crazy, you know, takeoff and life of their own, we are really connected on Facebook, Twitter, you know, at events with our readers. And Margie, you know, I've traveled to Spain and France, and she's traveled. We're in 48 countries. She's traveled all over the world and met our fans. And the thing I think that also makes it easier for us is we don't think about getting a movie or making a list. Every one of those kids that we meet becomes like one of the seven. They become the new people we're writing for. And if we just keep thinking about those kids or those people, the people that send us letters saying, you know, it's the first book I've read in 10 years and now I'm hooked on reading again, we just keep our method and we think about all these new people we've met, and they just become part of that group that we're writing for. And then I think ego doesn't come into play. Because we're not, you know, it's not like, oh, you can't erase my word or this or that. It's like we owe these people these books and this story, and we're kind of like the vessel, you know, the way that it gets out.
That's interesting. It's kind of like the newer characters that we start to meet throughout the series, that they eventually become a part of that niche, a part of Lena and Ethan's group.
Yes. We are really proud of the way our characters have been able to develop over the course of the series. Cami and I were talking about this morning that we're proud of them. We feel like all the characters we've created throughout the four books were able to stay sort of emotionally true to themselves. And I think in talking to our director, Richard LaGravanisi, with the movie, that's been one of the most important things, is that these are very real, emotionally, grounded teenagers. that we write about. And we don't want the fantasy elements to get in the way of the truth of the story. We want it all to work together. So I think that's when I look back over the four books, that's the thing, Cammie and I, that the goal we shared from the very beginning is that they're, you know, our fantasy is really real to us, and it's the stories are emotionally true. And that was really important to us.
You do a very good job of that, because you forget that Lena and her family are magical, and that Ethan isn't, just because of how you write the everyday going ons and the way that Ethan and Lena are trying to deal with high school and being the losers of the crowd and their own feelings.
One of the things that I'm really proud of too, because at the time that I wrote the book, I had a 2.5-year-old and my daughter was just born. And so I didn't have, you know, older children. And Margie's daughters and their friends and my teenage sister were like, you know, my children. Like, Margie shared her daughters with me. And I loved them. And I was so proud of the kind of girls that, you know, I taught these girls in third grade. And then I'm looking at them in junior high and high school. And one of the main themes of our book is claim yourself. You know, it's the idea of being brave enough to be the person that you are. And, you know, I watched these girls, you know, live that, like they were that way. And I think that Ethan is really important too, because, you know, he wasn't unpopular. He had friends. He was on the basketball team, and he made a conscious choice to kind of go against the grain and be friends with Lena, somebody who wasn't accepted, and kind of stand by her and not become part of that, like, conformist bullying crowd. And I think that that's really brave, and not all kids do that. But the girls and the boys that we know, they are those kinds of kids. You know what I mean? They're brave, and they'll step up. And we wanted Ethan to be that kind of kid.
Another thing that they are all faced with is mortality. Ethan has lost his mother, and you write it in such a real way. You don't skim over it. You really confront it.
J.K. Rowling once said that she always is writing about mortality and morality. And I think that hovers. There is sort of a literal ghost that sort of hovers over the story, because Ethan is really working out what it is to lose his mother and mortality. That's right. And, you know, I think that Cammie and I know teenagers so well, and we know this is not, writing for a teen is not an easier genre. Those are some of the, they're grappling sort of life's big issues for the first time. And they're some of the most powerful and emotional, and just sort of, their life is so vividly charged. And we wanted to capture some of that, because a teen doesn't feel things less keenly than an adult. I think perhaps feels it more keenly. And also teenagers today are dealing with very, very adult issues. In one of my Comic-Con panels, the discussion went to the fact that possibly one of the most important people in the world at this current moment is a 14-year-old dealing with the Taliban, you know, is Malala. And those are children, but those are also, you know, adults dealing with adult issues. So we wanted to really get that down on paper. When I was in Malaysia, I saw how many readers we had who were wearing, you know, a burqa, and who were waiting, saving money for their arranged marriage in another country. And I thought, man, when we were writing about wanting, you know, wanting to make your own decisions and wanting to have a choice and wanting to step up and claim who you were, I think we had no idea how far that was going to resonate.
Mm. We definitely didn't. We thought it was resonating seven people far.
Well, it has taken on a life of its own, the whole series has, and you had mentioned the movie. And I have very distinct images of what all of your characters are like. I'm curious about what your thoughts are after you saw the trailer for Beautiful Creatures.
Well, we were on the set. So we had seen, you know, we saw some of that being shot, and we had, you know, we knew who the actors were. We'd met them. We love the cast. I mean, we keep pinching ourselves. I mean, Emma Thompson and Viola Davis and Jeremy Irons and the kids that are in it are insane. They're so good. And as Margie said, you know, the script does not follow the books exactly, considering, as you mentioned, how thick the books are. But Richard managed to not only capture kind of the essence of the town and the world, but the casting is so good. Like, when you watch Alden Ehrenreich, who plays Ethan, I mean, he is Ethan. He's so sweet and kind, and even off of the set, he comes over and gives you a hug and, you know, thanks you for coming to say hi to him. He seems like, I mean, aside from the fact that he's, you know, he's not really Southern, he's like a little Ethan. It's crazy.
I think Jeremy Irons was right on the nose. Like, Cammie actually had a picture of him while we were writing. I mean, completely perfect for Uncle Macon. And then with all the other actors, they were such interesting choices. And the other thing Richard, our director, did was choose actors who were so powerful that in some cases he didn't have to rely on CGI and effects. Because, for example, Emma Thompson can radically change her personality. And she plays a character who is at one point inhabited by a very dark supernatural character. And she doesn't need to visually transform because with her face and the way she even speaks and acts, you can see the two characters psychologically kind of at war with each other. I'm not sure of a teen movie that's ever had the caliber of just sort of the acting, you know, chops or whatever you'd call it that Richard's put together in this movie. It's been quite intense to watch.
It really goes to show the caliber of your writing of these characters, though. I mean, you have Amma, who is just, she is a spitfire. She is the woman that has raised Ethan since his mother has died. And she is very much steeped into the whole voodoo and also contacting the greats to help her out and making sure he has all these little charms to keep him safe.
Yeah, I'm particularly proud of Amma, because Amma is really a combination of Margie's grandmother and my great-grandmother, who lived in a house with me growing up, who was Southern. And, I mean, there are lines and personality traits and, you know, exchanges that are, you know, right out of my life and Margie's lives. And since those are two women who are very important to us, Amma's very real. And also, you know, every time, whether it's the choice of Viola Davis or somebody going online and just saying that's their favorite character, that makes me feel really proud. You know, my great-grandmother's not here anymore. I mean, she didn't practice voodoo. We tried to be very true to the roots of the Gullah people in the area. But aside from that, you know, it really is a combination of these people that were important to us. And we used a lot of our family in, you know, the characters, not necessarily the teens, but yeah.
Both our families are from small towns. Both of them have their own family genealogists. The sisters are Cammie's great aunts, who were named Pearl, Opal, and Ruby, you know, not Prudence, Grace, and Mercy. My grandfather was the postmaster who knew everybody's business. You know,
Because he did open their mail.
Yeah. I mean, the non-supernatural characters are stranger than the supernatural characters in our books, and that's our own strange family coming into play. And that's also something that's made this series so much fun, is it really is sort of a love letter to our own roots in a certain way. We're both from what you would call the casserole belt or cream of country. And, you know, we have the same love-hate relationship, you know, within our own sort of circles as Ethan and Lena. And we've loved kind of getting to work in that for 4 years now.
It was very interesting, too, because obviously we never, when we were writing this, considered it being a movie. But when we were on the set, Emma Thompson was doing her interview for the, you know, director's cut DVD, whatever they do. And they were asking her, you know, what attracted you to this role? And she said, obviously, the script and Richard, you know, the talent behind the, you know, the script and the writing. But she said that she was discussing with Viola Davis the fact that at her age, most of the roles, you know, they're divorcees, they're someone's mom. She's like, there aren't a lot of roles where I get to be the most powerful supernatural in the universe, and yeah. I get to, like, you know, tear up the ground and scare the hell out of people, and I'm almost like an action star. And I didn't really think about that at the time because we were so focused on the teens and making sure that Lena and the girls were strong. But then, you know, I thought about it, and she said, you know, she was also talking about the actor who plays Grandma, and she said whether it's Grandma or Amma or Seraphine, Ethan's mother, she said there's so many strong adult women in the novel, and that allows for, you know, the strong adult roles in the movie. And I felt proud when she said that personally.
As I was reading the books, I wasn't thinking of it as a YA series, because as you said, there's a strong adult presence, but at the same time, just the content and how it's written doesn't seem like it would necessarily have to be targeted at young adults.
We have had a huge crossover audience. You know, it's different everywhere we go. In the South, we get a lot of adult men because of the Civil War aspect, which I always think is funny. Sometimes I don't think that they even know it's a book for teens. We've had generations. We've had the grandma buy the book for the granddaughter and then come back to the event with the mother, and they've all read the book. You know, it's been fascinating, but we've loved that. Partly the teens we are writing for are so smart and they're so strong that we would never dumb anything down for them. And I don't think any good young adult book dumbs anything down for anyone. I think it's much harder to get anything past a teenager than an adult. They're some of the most, you know, hypercritical. They can smell something phony a mile away. And, you know, we were writing for thoughtful, you know, really sort of thinking teens. And I think that really worked in our favor. But we've really enjoyed it.
It is the Beautiful Creatures novels. The newest one is Beautiful Redemption. Cammie and Margaret, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Again, the name of the final Beautiful Creatures novels is Beautiful Redemption. It is published by Little Brown. And the movie of the first in the series, Beautiful Creatures, will be hitting the theaters in February. For more information on the books and the movie, you can go to our website, wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
We all know the Duquesne history.
In the last year, Lena Duquesne has been in three different schools in three different towns, and in every one of them schools they had accidents. Even deaths.
Is that right?
I'm not afraid of you or your evil kind.
I like you.
You don't know anything about me. I don't know who I really am inside. I don't know what I'll be.
Our words, our language can't explain all that there is.
My powers will be claimed free of the light of the dark.